The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Lippo's not tying up the intro with Twitter.
No, I'm not. But I am Lippo, and you are.
I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm good for the second time around.
You're good for the second time around?
Yes.
Not sloppy seconds,
though. This is the second time we started the show today.
Well, that happens. It's showbiz, and you know, sometimes you can't get it right the first time.
We won't let the listeners know.
You just did.
Oh. What? I'll beep it all out. We'll have a beep under all this at the beginning, first 5 minutes.
Well, that sounds very familiar.
Does it?
Yeah. At
Why?
The beginning of
the other show. Because I always got to beep you out.
At the beginning of the other show that I do, iChart Radio.
Yeah.
Ken put Chinese underneath in the background because that's what they did at the Apple event. I didn't see it. I don't know.
I didn't see that.
No, it's during the live stream, I guess, they had a Chinese translator underneath Tim Cook talking for the first few
actually,
minutes.
Actually, like you could hear him?
You could hear her, yes. Her?
Okay, yeah. Why? And then it stopped?
And then it stopped, yeah.
Why did it stop?
Well, because they realized, whoa, we're sending the Chinese translation feed to the United States or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so.
That's funny that he did that.
He worked it in, and then he had me say, do you hear that?
He had you say something in Chinese.
I don't know.
Do you know any Chinese?
I don't know any Chinese.
Neither do I. I could fake it pretty good, but I don't know any.
You can fake. I think your Indian is better than your Chinese.
No, my Chinese is great.
All right, well then.
Hawaii Town Hai Ho. So, and I might have said something. I don't know, but it's pretty good. My Chinese is spectacular.
And do you make Chinese food?
I can do Japanese as well and Korean and
Vietnamese.
Vietnamese, yeah.
Laos.
All those Asian, you know. What is that?
Laos? It's the country right next to Thailand.
Oh,
that's right. For people who go visit Thailand.
I'm great at that, too.
They go to Laos. Because you can't stay in Thailand if you weren't born there, you got to leave the country every 6 months. Just for the day. Leave for the day, come back in, you're fine for another 6 months. So most people go to Laos.
Right.
It's probably not pronounced Laos, but Laos.
Is there an E on the end?
No, it's L-A-O-S.
It might have been pronounced Lousy.
It's the L-A-O-S. It's the Los Angeles operating system.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah. I got that on my computer.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm running the L-A-O-S. Laos. You're a big louse. And what is louse anyway? Isn't that some kind of maggot or something
jamokes
in your hair? Is that a bunch of lice in your hair? Is louse? Is that the plural of lice?
The plural of lice is louse.
I don't know.
Look at all the louse.
Or it could be the singular of lice for all I know.
Louse. You big louse.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. We'd have to look that up.
It's one of those words that we
like.
It's
got nothing to do with music, so we have to move on.
We're moving on. Anything going on this week? A film is. I know the WIFF is. Was this week or last week?
Oh no,
week,
it's all coming up.
It's coming up. The WIFF.
Mm-hmm. And 48-hour Flick Fest.
What is WIFF?
WIFF is the Windsor International Film Festival, which is coming up at the like the beginning of November. So.
So what does the film festival entail? A weekend worth of?
It's a full week, like 10 days or something like that. And
is it star studded? Is there any celebrities coming into Windsor during the Windsor International Film
Festival? Well, celebrities to a point, I guess they will probably have some of the directors and whatnot of some of the films that will be
directors,
there, talking and whatnot. Yeah, that, they do that kind of thing. But as far as, and I haven't checked out what's all going on yet. I'll be there for it. But
you're working, right?
I am.
And is it a paid gig?
It is.
Okay, that's awesome. Where does that money come from? It's a grant, I assume?
I'm going to say they're funded, but I don't know where it comes from exactly, but I know mine comes from them. Where they get theirs, I don't know.
Right. I would just have to assume it's arts related and it's a big to-do. So I would assume that the government of Canada is pitching
a lot of volunteers.
A lot of volunteers. Yeah. Could I volunteer?
You could. Yeah.
And what do you, be an usher, be a technician? Could I technician
something? No, probably not technician, though.
Aww.
You have to be professional for that.
Are you like in union? Is it union stuff that you're doing?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So they're not picky as far as who works. Just gonna have
really
the know-how.
Yeah, yeah. The main guy, the tech guy there, is union. but not everybody is. So that's WIFF, Windsor International Film Festival. You can check out windsorfilmfestival.com.
Awesome. Check it out.
So what's today's show on?
This week we're going to be talking about live albums.
That's awesome.
I think so.
We all grew up with live albums.
We all did grow up with live albums. They're still making live albums today. I don't know if they have the same kind of popularity, but we're going to be talking all about live albums and what some of our listeners' favorite live albums are. But first, let's get on with some news.
So Metallica resumes work on a new album, which is pretty cool. I like Metallica's recent stuff. I think it's pretty cool. A lot of people don't like it. Their later albums, like the last couple, last few, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all heavy, man. You know what I mean? Yes, I don't know if it's that people want Metallica just to be like what they think Metallica is supposed to be like all the time, you know, or what is it?
I think it's a syndrome that people...
they have with the guys, like, you know,
I don't know if it's so much that.
Politics and opinions on whatnot, you know, to start like, Metallica this, or, you know, same with Kiss. Gene Simmons, oh, he's doing this, and like, screw Kiss, you know what I mean? Like,
sure, and U2.
Kiss is still Kiss. U2?
Yeah. They're also getting lambasted in the press as well.
And you will when you...
When you're around that
the
long,
the more you're
I think.
In the spotlight, the more there's going to be ridicule for something, right?
Right.
And Gene Simmons, by the way, in a new Rock Band reality competition show.
Imagine that.
We should enter.
Okay. What's the criteria? Do you have to be in a band, or can you be a duo? Or
yeah, that I'm not really sure. Some kind of a reality competition show, and bands will compete to curry the favor of the Kiss bassist.
Bands.
There you go. Bands will compete.
Right. So he's like the Simon Cowell of the rock era kind of thing.
I don't know. Yeah, he's
he wants to find some new acts, and this is a way.
He's always busy.
Well, of course he's busy. What's he going to do? Retire?
Well, no.
What kind of lifestyle would that be?
It's all about the cabbage.
It's all about the cabbage. Is that what you Jewish folks call money? Cabbage?
Why you got to drag race into this now?
Because he's Jewish and so are you.
Well, yeah. It's all about the money.
Okay.
So this show's over. And Avenged Sevenfold set to release the Deathbat game, and that'll be available at Apple's App Store and Google Play.
So it's
October 16th.
Mobile game from Avenged Sevenfold.
Well, Apple's App Store?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's mobile.
Yes, it does.
Does it?
What did it say?
Not iTunes App Store, Apple App Store. So yeah. I'm assuming it's a regular big game.
I'm going to assume you're wrong.
I'm going to assume that you can't play it on their mobile device.
But you're going to be able to play it on an Android mobile device. Come on. As if.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Google Play?
Yeah, that's all that is Android.
But is that all that is?
All is
Android. Does Google Play not have anything to do with Windows?
Nope. Just Android.
Like Apple's App Store is to computer as right. iTunes is to... No way. No. Okay.
So
maybe a mobile game then.
I would have to think so. Like, who's... Hey, let's all gather around my computer and play a game. No, that's not happening.
That's true.
I'm now... what I'm guessing is it'll be multiplayer, and you'll each have your own device in your hand, and you'll be able to play the game
Look
with each other.
Look at him go.
But we'll find out more details about that when you get the game.
Megadeth launching limited edition picture disc series.
Picture disc.
Announced they will issue their first 5 platinum selling albums on limited edition picture disc vinyl for the first time in the U.S. on November 11th, Megadeth. Which is Remembrance Day. So that's something you'll remember. Isn't it Remembrance Day?
Yes. In the United States, they call that?
Emancipation.
Veterans Day. That's right. Emancipation. Wow.
No, I just have a little bit of that. My stomach's been bothering me. Wow. Oh, that's not emancipation.
No,
that's constipation.
I'm kidding. Let the slaves go.
Yeah, so there you have some news headlines. What have you got for us?
It's the Emancipation Proclamation. Feast of Friends. Have you ever heard of the Feast of
Absolutely.
Friends?
Absolutely.
What is it?
It's a big to-do.
You're right. It is a big to-do. It's a Doors documentary that the band members produced themselves on their 1968 summer tour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. It's finally getting a proper release. The feature, which was never completed, was screened generally to negative reviews at film festivals during the frontman Jim Morrison's lifetime. But the reason it has taken nearly half a century to come out on home video is because the singer's legal issues at the time. The new release, due out, what day? Guess?
November 11th.
Bam!
Wow.
Will feature mastered audio and video. So you got some Doors, you got some Megadeth. It's a fictional documentary, Jim Morrison says in the trailer. I can't say too much about it because we're not really making it. It's just kind of making itself.
Mm-hmm.
He was high on drugs, you know.
Oh, was he?
From what I understand, yes. And also, another Gene Simmons story here. It's actually a Kiss story. Kiss performed a rare acoustic gig on Monday in Lake Oswego, Oregon, to help raise funds to build a military museum in the Beaver State. That's a nice name for your state. For 3 years, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Southern California?
Oregon. Have assisted the Historical Outreach Foundation towards building the $15 million project. And I guess they raised how much money? $1 million, I think. Yeah, they raised $1 million.
They still got it.
Yeah. To raise $1 million.
Although, as cool as that is, without Peter Criss and Ace Frehley,
What's up?
Kiss without them. It's not the same.
Okay, well, Kiss guitarist and Oregon native Tommy Thayer, who was the tech, wasn't he?
And then he got started playing.
Started playing. Is heavily involved in a museum which will be named after the guitarist's father, Brigadier General James B. Thayer, a 93-year-old World War II veteran.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So let's talk about some live albums.
Well, let's talk about Kiss Alive.
All right. We're going to play some tunes from the Kiss Alive album?
Yeah. All real. Overdubs. We'll talk about that when we come back. But yeah, Black Diamond and Cold Gin.
Oh, getting so hot outside, you always need something to cool you off. There's got to be some people out there that like to drink tequila. All right. I was talking to somebody backstage before, and they were telling me there's a lot of you people there that like to drink vodka and orange juice. Tell you something, when you're down in the dumps and you need something to bring you up, there's only one thing that's going to do it the way you want it. What's that? I can't hear you. Cold chin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
So, Kiss Alive, yeah. Kiss Alive is the first live album. First live album and fourth overall by American hard rock band Kiss, as if anybody doesn't know. Maybe the young kids don't. And considered to be their breakthrough and a landmark for live albums. Released on September 10th, 1975, the double disc set contains live versions of selected tracks from their first three studio albums, Kiss, Hotter Than Hell, and Dressed to Kill. It was recorded from concerts in Detroit, Michigan,
yeah,
Cleveland, Ohio,
mm-hmm,
Wildwood, New Jersey, and really? Davenport, Iowa.
I don't think I knew that.
And is it you that knows somebody that's in the inside picture there? The
one guy on the left-hand
holding
side.
Holding the banner?
Holding the banner at Cobo Arena, yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It's the coolest. Windsor guy on the back of one of the most iconic live albums ever. I think it's very cool. And myself, that album really made an impression on me when I was, I guess, 1975. I guess I was 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, I was 11. Loved it.
And I remember listening to that like over and over and over again. And I was really impressed. I was familiar with a lot of the tunes on there from the studio version. I think I had the Hotter Than Hell album. And a friend of mine had Dressed to Kill, which had Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day, which got a lot of radio play. So that was kind of like their, where they kind of got started. They could have just fallen off the face of the earth like a lot of bands back then did. And but then they came out with this live album, and that very same song, Rock and Roll All Night, Party Every Day, the live version was also getting a lot of radio play as well. Mm-hmm. Cold Gin was on there, and Black Diamond, 100,000 Years, Deuce.
Strutter, Gotta Choose, Harder Than Hell, Firehouse. I don't know what y'all said there. She, Parasite.
Yeah.
Watching You, 100,000 Years. Yeah, all the great stuff from those first few albums, man. It's all amazing.
It was very good. And they were legendary live shows. There really was nothing like Kiss up to that point.
I guess there's at least one bass mistake on there or left on there. But I quite honestly don't know that Gene Simmons has ever actually played bass live. Anything I've ever seen a Kiss live,
yeah,
I absolutely 99.9% don't think he's playing bass live. Anything I've ever seen never looks right.
What do you mean never looks like? Like what you hear is not where he's at on the neck? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's right. All like not, doesn't look right what he's playing or what he's doing. I've seen him stop and it still keeps going, I think.
No.
Yeah, you really got to watch, yeah. I don't think anything. I don't know if he's ever played.
What kind of can of worms are you opening up here?
That's what I think. He's never looked like he's played the bass to me, because you know what? As simple as people might think he is, if you listen to the Kiss albums, it's not simple bass, really. It's like pretty good. And I never really see him playing like that. I don't know. It doesn't look like it to me anyway. Not that I don't love Gene Simmons and love Kiss, but I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying it's all fake.
It doesn't. Never looked real to me. Gene Simmons playing.
So have you ever had this conversation with anybody else?
No, I don't think
so. You just
so.
Decide to blurt it out on a show here?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Just
I've had it with everybody now.
Yeah, all exactly. At once.
I don't know. He's never looked to me like he's actually playing.
I saw him live.
Did you see Kiss live? Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe they turn him on actually live for his solo or something, but I don't know. But let's talk about the overdubbing controversy with Kiss Alive.
All right.
And
the bass parts are overdubbed, obviously.
Considerable debate as to how much use was made of studio overdubs. And in his autobiography, Kiss and Make Up, Simmons stated that very little corrective work was done in the studio and that most of the studio time was devoted strictly to mixing down the multi-track recordings. However, it's been said by other members of Kiss, and I think, who produced that? Eddie Kramer?
Is it Eddie Kramer? Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah. Anyway, they've said that the only thing that was actually kept on there was the drum tracks. Everything else
was redone.
Yeah, so who knows, but I don't know.
Even
it's
the vocals?
Great album. I don't care, but I don't know. That's what he says.
That's insane. They're just
stated there was early on, he stated that there was a few overdubs to correct most obvious mistakes, strings breaking, off-key notes, that kind of thing. But in recent years, Kramer stated that the only original live recording on the album is Peter Criss's drum tracks.
Way to go, Peter Criss, at least.
Stanley noted there's a bass mistake in the chorus of Come On and Love Me, which seems to state that Gene Simmons may have been playing bass.
Right.
He never looks like he plays bass to me.
Never.
And I always really never. Just you watch, say never. Watch and watch and watch him when he's playing, and he just never looks like he's playing to me. Yeah, I don't know why.
His style is somewhat like he does bring his fingers off
the fretboard. And I think it stems for me from all the theatrics and everything, you know, because he does so much stuff and everything. And
how can he be playing bass?
He's actually playing too at the same time, but I don't know.
Well, you know, everybody's going to be going on YouTube right now looking at some...
Did you see the video clip on YouTube where he supposedly peed his pants?
No.
Yeah, on stage, and he's peeing. But he's not really. It's like something from his water bottle. But there was a big thing over all that he was actually...
People do pee on stage.
Away. Yeah, well, maybe Iggy Pop or...
No, I think even women. Iggy Pop
has. Really?
Yeah, I've seen the YouTube of some woman, the chick from No Doubt. Gwen Stefani.
No.
Yes.
Never. Gwen Stefani?
Go YouTube.
Pee on stage.
Not like on purpose or anything. She let herself go accidentally in her costume, probably finished that tune and went off stage.
I'll have to see that to believe it for sure.
And it wasn't when they were famous. It was like some hot, sweaty California show they did.
Well, it sounds great. Sounding better all the time.
Sounding better. Doesn't smell very nice, but it sounds great.
So here's a live album that I bought this album actually at Records on Wheels years and years and years ago. When it came out. I don't know when it was, early 70s or something like that. This is Killing Yourself to Live from Black Sabbath's Live at Last album, which was recorded at what's that big theater in London that all the bands are always at?
Royal Albert Hall?
No, smaller, Hammersmith, I think.
Yeah.
Hammersmith Odeon. Yeah, I can't remember exactly where it was, but what a cool album, man. It doesn't sound like, you know, great by the standards of today's records, right? The live albums are amazing now, but... What a really, really, really cool album. And again, Killing Yourself to Live, Black Sabbath from Live at Last.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And because I don't have record albums anymore, there's always misinformation as to the covers and the, you know, the text anymore on them, because you don't get to read the records anymore.
Absolutely.
Now we have, you know, download versions and whatnot.
Yep.
And so tell us about the Live at Last album, where it was actually...
It was actually recorded in Manchester, which is another city in England, at the Manchester Free Trade
Not
Hall.
Not at Hammersmith, Odeon.
Right. So it wasn't in London, it was in Manchester. And they're from Birmingham.
Yes.
That's right. So that was
Birmingham's in Troy. Bean dog, why don't you go to
Telegraph Road right now?
And you got some Harry Bush coming up.
Harry Bush?
Oh, honey, hush.
I don't want any more Harry Bush.
And tell us about that, because that's another.
Well, back in the day, all the girls had Harry Bush.
Jesus,
oh, you don't mean my
mom? I'm going to be beeping the whole show out here.
You want me to tell you about Honey Hush?
I do.
Another album which I listened to a lot when I was dating this one girl.
Okay.
So back in those days,
back to the Bush.
Exactly. She had Harry Bush, actually.
Jesus.
Anyway, she'd babysit a lot. And if you wanted to listen to music, you didn't bring your phone with you, because you didn't have a phone, for one thing. You brought your record albums over to where she was babysitting. And I remember bringing my too old to rock and roll. And too young to die.
That album, actually? Yeah. Jethro Tull?
Jethro Tull.
Wow.
I remember bringing that with me. Bob Seger, Beautiful Loser. And this album... Foghat Live, which I was a huge Foghat fan.
Oh, yeah. Who wasn't?
I remember went and seen Aerosmith and Foghat. I went to see Foghat.
Yeah.
Because I was a bigger Foghat fan.
I saw Foghat later.
And I was of Aerosmith.
It wasn't the great. It was like Boogie Motel or something, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But still Lonesome Dave singing.
Yes.
From Savoy Brown, actually.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where he was from. So this is Honey Hush from Foghat Live. You're not beeping any of that. That's all no.
There's no beeps.
Okay.
These aren't beeps. These are just our little. I'm not beeping anything.
I'm gonna get energized now. Do a song from that album, Honey Hush. We'll be right back.
And we're back talking about live albums on the show today.
And we have Big JD went on the Big JD and Lipo Facebook page. And I think he actually posted on my timeline as well. And we wanted to know what some of our followers thought of their favorite live albums from the past, or even new live albums. Can you think of one recent live?
No, I can't think of anything live recently, really. Honestly,
is it even a genre that people are even interested in, I'm wondering? Well, I know of a live album. It's Tedeschi Trucks. Everybody's Talking.
Okay.
Really awesome live album because they're a great live act, of course. The Allman Brothers was another band that was a great live band, and they had another what I would call iconic live album too. And they played at where was that at?
Which was it again? Did you say
the live Allman Brothers record? They're all standing in the back behind.
Whipping Post on there is great.
Ugh, Statesboro Blues.
Yeah, yeah. So a little bit here from the Facebook page is Dave says Grand Funk Live, which, yeah, fantastic. I, of course, put Kiss Alive. Dave said it's all phony.
Dave says it's all phony.
You suck. Yeah.
So it's not something that you just...
No. It's kind of a well-known thing.
Oh, yeah. First time I've heard of it today.
Okay. George says Sam Cooke live at the Harlem Square Club in Miami. 63, possibly, and Jay Giles' Full House.
Ugh. Hey? What an album that was. That was another one of my all-time favorite as a kid.
Oh, Dave says Fake Alive. That's what he said. Oh, no, I said Fake Alive. He said it's fake. I said, okay, well, Fake Alive. Another Dave says U2 Vertigo. Peter Gabriel from Nelson, Secret World Live. UFO Strangers in the Night.
Nice.
Rodney says, Alan, my buddy Alan from formerly the Chambers of Rock blog, which was quite amazing, out of Michigan. And he says a tough call between Live and Dangerous, Thin Lizzy, which I, of course, have something lined up from Live and Dangerous later, and Strangers in the Night UFO. So we got a couple people with UFO, actually. And
wow.
Freewheeling from the band Psycho, Kiss Alive, of course. And Ronnie says Live and Dangerous. Al says Live Bullet.
Yeah, that was another one. That was another one of my all-time favorite ones.
Marcel says Dream Theater Live at Budokan or Toss Up. Iron Maiden Live After Death.
At Budokan is another awesome live album.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy how awesome albums came out.
What else is on here?
I have a couple that you posted on mine, and Elaine, well, good friend of mine, Elaine Robert, she said Frampton Comes Alive.
Yep.
Of course, which was around the same time that the Bob Seger Silver Bullet Band Live came out as well. And she also said Deep Purple, Made in Japan.
Made in Japan's great. I'm going to play some live Deep Purple later.
Awesome.
Not from Made in Japan, though, just because. I think last concert in Japan with Tommy Bolin, actually. Something kind of cool. From the Come Taste the Band album, I believe, is the song I have lined up. And another really cool live album is Rory Gallagher's Stage Struck. I love that.
Yeah, awesome.
Really cool.
I'm trying to think where that was recorded at, but it's not coming to me.
How the West Was Won, Led Zeppelin.
That's interesting.
Brian says ABBA with song. A smiley face. And Roy Orbison and Gordon Lightfoot. And I know he's clowning around. And yeah, so great live stuff, man. We lived through the best live album era, I think, ever.
Right. And
we're not going to have that again.
I don't think so.
Because all those great bands are gone. So how can you have that?
And it just captured
Katy Perry live. Woo!
Yeah, it captured the essence of what was really going on. And I don't think if they do record live albums now, they're not going to sound like that.
And speaking of sounding like that, here's some Thin Lizzy from Live and Dangerous. This is Don't Believe a Word.
I wrote this song for you.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And there's been some kind of different structure in the live album release thing, such as a single live album, but double live albums, really cool. And then there's like Kiss Alive 2 actually came out with a one side new studio tracks. So it was three sides live and one side of new songs.
And what was on the other side of the studio?
Oh, what was live? Okay, three live.
Three live.
Fourth and one,
oh,
side
I see.
Was,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was on there. All American Man. Any Way You Want It. I can't remember what was all on it, but there's, you know, like whatever, five, six studio songs.
Right.
Cool. And then there's like Ted Nugent, another great live album, man, is Intensities in 10 Cities.
Yes.
And whether that's actually live or not, I don't know, but it was all new stuff. It was a new release, but it was live. So I don't know if what the deal was with that. And I mean, we could probably find that. Wikipedia will tell us that.
What? Intensities?
Intensities in 10 Cities was a live album, but it was all new songs. There were no previously released songs on Intensities in 10 Cities.
Really?
My love is like a tire iron, my love. Yeah, it was what great stuff. Heads Will Roll. You Don't Get Out of My Way. Yeah, those were not on anything.
Okay, that's cool. And of course, he had Double Live Gonzo, which was another awesome live.
Oh, yeah,
album.
That was, yeah. Even some old Amboy Duke stuff on there. Hibernation was on there. Great Way Buffalo. Yeah,
that was
cool stuff, man. And he did Survival of the Fittest, was an old live Amboy Duke's album, which was really cool. Rarity these days too,
for sure.
Yeah,
I'm aghast that Intensities was nothing but original stuff.
Yeah, it was all new stuff, and those later Nugent albums were great, man. The one just called Nugent,
yeah, that was, you know, really good.
Bound and Gagged and all the what was that? Dan. I can't remember the name of the song, but it was kind of a popular one on the radio. And the one with the Hard as Nails and Terminus El Dorado and all that, Scream Dream.
Yeah.
Those weren't live, but anyway.
I saw that show in Calgary when I was living out there, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. At the Saddle Dome.
And I don't know, are there any other kind of live albums that were released that were any different than, you know, single, double, one-side studio kind of thing, or...
Nothing I can think of. Most of them were double albums, right?
And some of those live ones would open up and have like a book inside. So there'd be pages inside the double album.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. Was cool. You're talking about liner notes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting that as you're listening to it, there's so much information that they could put on an album cover. And people accuse me of knowing too much trivia about songs or music or bands. But back in the day, I used to read that stuff, and I was just
we had access to
it. I was a magnet for that stuff, and I retained all that information that I read. So I knew producers and studios and people who mastered albums. I remembered all that stuff.
And it's too bad we don't know a lot of that now. Although it's pretty interesting how they have the digital books now. You know, you get a download, case in point, the new U2. Downloaded from Free for Everybody on iTunes, and it had the actual PDF booklet with it that comes downloaded with it, and it's got all kinds of liner notes and pictures and all kinds of things, actually.
Yeah, that was interesting in so much that a lot of people don't want that in their iTunes. So you know what Apple did?
True, yeah.
They created a tool to hide it. Not hide it, but to get it out of your albums.
Oh, yeah? What's that? I don't know.
It's called the YouTube.
I just delete them.
YouTube Songs of Innocence removal tool. So it's not on anything. So it's not in your, like, you can delete them off your computer. You don't have to download them. You can just listen to it without even actually downloading it. But it's in your purchased songs.
I like to move them to a folder.
You don't even use iTunes, do you?
I do.
To manage your music?
Oh, not to manage it, no.
Okay.
All mine just folder structure, man. I just drag stuff in when I want it or don't want it.
Right. So you use iTunes, but you don't use it in the traditional
sense. No, I don't. Yeah. I have too much music.
Well, what does that mean? You're saying iTunes can't handle it, or?
Well, if I drag it in, it's just going to take forever. But then I use iTunes for a lot of other things, you know, as a metadata renamer and things like that. Then, and it makes it a pain when you have all your music in and then you drag stuff in that's tagged or not tagged right or what, and then it's everything's a mess and you can't find it. You know what I mean? So I usually use it as a tool, iTunes. You know what I mean? As a little bit of a management.
Do you hear tool. That, iTunes? You're a tool.
Not to be confused with Tool Live. Does Tool have a live album?
I don't know. That's a good question. I know that...
Some good bands just don't have a live album. You can make one easy.
Sure.
Put a cheering track behind it like Kiss does.
Jeez Louise.
Big JD and Lippo Live! Okay, so as promised, some Deep Purple from the last concert in Japan, actually, with Tommy Bolin. And that would be David Coverdale singing and Roger Glover on bass. Yeah.
It was Roger Glover, yeah. Yeah, it would be.
John Lord.
And what do you mean last concert in Japan? That was Tommy Bolin's last concert in Japan, or that
lineup.
No,
I think it was their last concert in Japan kind of before new. You know, I don't know if there was any Deep Purple for a while after that. You know what I mean? And then they came back out with what's his name? You know, Morse.
Oh, you mean the last Ritchie Blackmore?
No.
Before Rainbow?
No, this doesn't have Ritchie Blackmore on it, but it's their last concert in Japan.
Oh, right, Tommy Bolin, hello.
Called that because it was the last actual concert the band recorded, and then New Eras came about, and there might be something live after that, I don't know. But
so who was the first person to ever replace Ritchie Blackmore in Deep Purple? Do you know that?
Yeah, it was Tommy Bolin.
Okay, so, and then Ritchie Blackmore did Rainbow, and then he never came back to Deep Purple?
Yeah, he came back for a while.
For Perfect Strangers.
But I don't know about any live albums, or if they might have done one, but I mean, this was the real, like, their last so-called live album.
Yeah.
And so, from last concert in Japan, this is Deep Purple and the song Lady Luck from Come Taste the Band.
Just throw it, what the hell? I think the wood is shot.
And we're back. We're talking about live albums on the show today. You know, it's another great live album by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, Ruin Johnny's Bar Mitzvah. No, that's live.
I think I've heard
they parts ruin that. Every song.
They ruin it all.
No, not really. I mean,
well, they do know, their they own make thing to it.
Or do anything like they just play around. You know what I mean? They're funny.
Yeah, they do their own thing.
It's, you know, just that's the way they are.
For sure. David Coverdale, though, what a freaking voice, eh? I love that guy.
Yeah, Coverdale's fantastic. And Whitesnake has a live album. Geez, what's it called now?
No idea.
Something in the Night. I can't remember the name, but it's really cool. And it was released as a single album and I think as a double album.
What?
Yeah.
So you could pay two prices. You want the extra stuff or do you want just...
Yeah, I don't know if it was like later released as a double album. So oh, more I see. Stuff, you know what I
oh,
mean?
Maybe that would make sense, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Because at some point I remember it came out as double album. There was more stuff and it was really cool, but really good too.
And we got another live tune here. This is an album that I had at the about the same time that I had the Kiss Alive album. I was listening to Kiss Alive and David Bowie live as well. This is Rock and Roll Suicide that we're going to be listening to that was recorded at the Philadelphia Tower. And I think he's talking about this being the last show.
Time takes a cigarette. Puts it in your mouth. You pull on your finger, then another finger, then your cigarette. Wall to wall it's calling, it lingers. Still you forget. Now you're rock and roll suicide. Choose it, and the clock waits so patiently on your song. You walk past a cafe, but you can't eat when you live too long. No, no, you're rock and roll suicide. Shadow. Don't let the milk float blind to mine. They're so natural, religiously unkind.
It's
All right, we're talking about live albums on the show today, and I have some lists, some top 10 lists, and some of them are from bigger lists, but they have the top 10 here from different magazines and whatnot, and it's pretty cool. So NME, 50 Greatest Live Albums of All Time from the March 2011 list here, 50 albums, but we have the top 10, and a lot of them appear in the same list, right? So number one, Live and Dangerous, Thin Lizzy. Live Rust, Neil Young.
Wow.
So this is some great things that we'll mention, some live albums that we might not have listened to in a long time. Live at Leeds, The Who. They came out with an extended version of that at some point, too, from the live album.
And they just put Scratches. Killer. Scratches Are Okay was right on the album.
I Might Be Wrong, Radiohead. Folsom Prison, Johnny Cash. Cool. Unplugged in New York, Nirvana.
Of course, that's another.
What the heck was that?
That was somebody closing a car door outside.
Kick Out the Jams, MC5.
Oh, what another.
It's Alive by the Ramones, and of course, wow. Kiss Alive, right there in the top 10.
Awesome.
Live at the Apollo, James Brown. This is from the 100 Greatest Live Rock Albums from DigitalDreamDoor.com. Cool. What else they got there? Live at Leeds of The Who, Fillmore East, Allman Brothers.
There you go, that's it.
Star Club, Live at the Star Club, Jerry Lee Lewis. In Person, Ray Charles, Folsom Prison again, Made in Japan, Deep Purple, of course.
Bam!
Get Your Ya-Ya's Out, Rolling Stones Live.
What an awesome album that is.
Royal Albert Hall Concert, Bob Dylan, and Frampton Comes Alive, of course. And let's see what else we got. Top 25 live albums from IGN, which is comes up in the top searches for... if you're searching for things like this. And they got Nirvana in there, and Talking Heads Live, Live at Leeds again, James Brown, Jane's Addiction. Stylus Magazine, Top 50, Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash, Talking Heads, James Brown, all the big stuff there. Minimum, Maximum by Kraftwerk. Thin Lizzy, Live and Dangerous again from Classic Rock, 50 Greatest Live Albums Ever. The Who's in there again. How the West Was Won, Led Zeppelin.
Bam.
Which I guess is a later release. Of,
yeah, as opposed to Song Remains the Same.
Alive by Kiss. Exit, Stage Left, Rush.
Rush, yeah.
Motorhead, No Sleep Till Hammersmith. Johnny Cash, Frank Sinatra, Live at the Sands in the Chord Strike Top 100. Ella Fitzgerald Live, Bob Dylan, Judy Garland, Bill Withers. They have some different stuff in there than, you know, we've mostly been talking about rock. UFO, Strangers in the Night, the Planet Rock Greatest Hits Live Albums. So, yeah, there's a crazy list out there of the greatest albums, and a lot of them overlap because they're great.
Yeah, so that lets you know that those really were awesome albums. But what are we going to talk about next week? Because we're finishing up here. We got no more time left, and we just got another song to play.
Yeah, so... next week on the show is going to be
the evolution of musical media. Let's just music say media. Music media. Yeah. How you were able to buy your music.
So we're talking about 8 tracks, cassettes in stereo. You know what song that is? Come on,
Jackson Brown.
Yes.
Something about the road. I don't remember.
Yeah, One More from the Road or One More for the Road. Something. Yeah.
Something like that. Oh, Lynyrd Skynyrd, One More from the Road. Another awesome live album.
Great. Yeah. Which was missing a couple songs actually when they came out with it on CD. Because it was too long.
Too long, that's right.
And then at some point, I think they released a double disc. Anyway, what are we leaving the fine folks with this morning?
This is another awesome live album. It's Humble Pie Performances. Of course, Peter Frampton and the amazing... what's this guy's name?
Steve Marriott.
And this is Stone...
Jerry Shirley, possibly?
Stone Cold Fever.
See everybody next week.
Thanks for listening, everybody!
Hi. How's everybody doing out there tonight?
This is something off our album that we ain't played here for a while. It's called Stone Cold Fever. We'll be right back.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.